Hey guys, Love sorry I'm late. Radio. Sorry. Hey guys, sorry I'm late. I let me unmute myself. I believe I was muted.
I can hear you. Could. No, I can't. Okay, now I'm unmuted.
There, you're unmuted. I'm unmuted, correct?
All right.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey,
yep,
guys.
It's just a little technical difficulty.
Carrie's number. She's even on the call tonight. Let me see if she's going to be on this call. Her and I talked for a lengthy period yesterday. And, guys, this is the first time in 13 or 14 years that Mr. David Mack will not be hosting this call, which is very strange to me, to say the least. I was out in the back 40, John, and I just literally put the tractor away, and you called, and I thought, holy Lord, I forgot all about the call. I've been calling Dave.
It happened.
I did. I just... You know, it's just one of them type of deals, man. I've been trying to do my thing with Dave, and I still can't get a hold of him. But Terry says he is good. He's just been very, very ill. And if she calls in tonight, that would be great. So, guys, again, welcome to the once a month What Lies in Your Debt call. I am Jesse. I will be hosting today. I have John Pinson with us tonight. Just a heads up, tomorrow the episode or our webinar that Dave was canceled or was hosting will be canceled. So that goes without saying. He is down and out. He's been down and out for a couple of weeks. Terry has a sneaking suspicion of what's going on. I wish she was here on this call tonight. I think that's her right there. Let me unmute her. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, Jesse.
Terry,
I
you there, sweetheart?
I dialed in and it just had me on hold all this time, so I hung up and dialed
back. Yeah, well,
in.
Listen, it was 3 or 4 after, and John called and said, hey, are we doing the call tonight? And I said, holy Lord, I literally just put the tractor in the bay. Honest to God's truth, I've been out bush hogging and working, and I'm all dusty. I totally forgot. Cause
I just got the birthday cakes. I just got the birthday cake,
oh, really?
One in back in the freezer and the other one back in the fridge and put the pizza away and all that.
Yeah, it's her husband's birthday today, so make sure you wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah.
anyway, so did you talk to Dave by any chance?
I did not talk to him today. I never got a chance.
Okay, yeah, I emailed him twice. I left tried to leave a message, couldn't get through to him, so... But anyway, so we'll talk about that situation here in a minute, because I do. I'm glad you're back on tonight, because we can talk about what your suspicions are on
because
that.
I just sent you an email. Dr. Will sent me something that is really, really urgent and along that subject, and I forwarded you the link to what he sent me.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Let me do this, Terry.
Okay, go ahead.
I just got to do the disclaimer, guys. Again, welcome to What Lies in Your Debt's month-to-month call, guys. Anything and everything we discuss here tonight shall not be taken and should not be taken as legal advice. It's not intended to be legal advice. We are not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys. We're just going to have fun discussing our cases, the outcomes of our cases, what we're doing, how we're handling them. And, you know, you're more than welcome to ask questions, and we'll just tell you how we would handle if it was us in that situation. But again, guys, please do not take anything that is talked about tonight as legal advice because it's not intended to. And again, I just want to throw out a quick prayer for Dave Mack. This is the first time, I swear, I'm saying this again for anybody joining our call. 13 years that this man has not been with us. So he has hosted this call for the longest time. I can't even think back. So I know he's just down and out. God willing, he's going to recover and recover quickly. That's my big thing, but I'm always concerned for him. I love him to death. He's a great friend. I wanted to see him, you know, when I go to Texas next week or the week after next. And, you know, hopefully he'll be better. If not, I'm going to chase him down and find him. But regardless, it's one of those type of things that we just need to keep him in our prayers the next few weeks. That's all I ask. So anyway, Terry, so Dave, given the symptoms a little bit, before we get on, you know, we usually start with good news and all that, but with this COVID stuff going on, I think that it's, we don't have a whole bunch of callers tonight, so I think it's pretty interesting that we have a list. Is that Larry on here? I can't see. He hasn't texted me. Let me see. Larry, is that you, buddy? 2593, or is that another 407 number here local? Hello, 407-920? I'm just going to mute you again. So you don't speak, I guess you're mute. So, yeah, anyway, so long story short, there's a sneaking suspicion of what the issue could be with David. Terry's been on to some things. I did some more research myself, so did my wife, that are kind of odd of what's going on with this vaccination, which is not really a vaccination. It really is not a vaccine, guys. It's absolute not a vaccine, but they're labeling it this way. And anyway, Terry, why don't you share some of that with them? I'm going to mute myself out.
Okay.
Try to make it short to the point, right? We don't want to be here all night on this, but it's
something
that's very important that you guys, yeah, we have to talk about and consider. Just keep it in the back of your mind because it's important.
I want to finish something you just said. What
okay.
I needed to share had to do with something you just said. When you said the vaccine is not a vaccine, this was sent to me by Dr. Will Spencer, and most of you on this call know he is our resident naturopath and my naturopath, the only doctor I've ever seen in 30 years. And he sent me this. Apparently, this was put out yesterday by the Connecticut state government on a COVID vaccine. And it says, updated at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Connecticut publishes Moderna COVID vax ingredients, deadly poison, SM-102, not for human or veterinary use. I won't read the whole article here that they put out, but the Department of Public Health has published the ingredients list for the Moderna vaccine, and that data sheet confirms that it contains a chemical called SM, as in Mary, -102, and the material safety data sheet describes that chemical as not for human or veterinary use. I will scroll down here. I forwarded you this link, Jesse, but I'm going to scroll down here, and it has hazard identification on it, and there's three things that are big and red, circled in red, about this SM-102. It's fatal in contact with the skin. It is suspected of causing cancer, suspected of damaging fertility or the unborn child. We discussed that, did we not? Causes damage to the central nervous system, the kidneys, the liver, and the respiratory system through prolonged or repeated exposure. And the last one is, and this is really scary, very toxic to aquatic life with long-lasting effects. So even if this shit got dumped in public water, can you even imagine? Okay, so you need to know that. That's just on the Moderna. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, about 2.5 weeks ago, I was made aware, and I did further research, and now, after 2.5 weeks have gone by, there are many other doctors besides the one that I first heard from out there sharing their research on the same findings. And that is that, and we all know that the vaccines also contain what has been talked about and described as something called a spike protein that is completely foreign to the human body and biological makeup. It does have a purpose. It is synthetic. It has been created in a lab. And once it is inside your body, once you get vaccinated, or, and then I'll tell you later how you end up with it otherwise, once it's in your body, every cell in your body suddenly turns into a mass replication factory. It replicates this spike protein, which is deadly for one specific thing in perpetuity. It attacks the reproductive system. Now, in females, we've already seen some reports of vaccine side effects in young women and girls, and majorly adversely affecting menstrual cycles to the point of hemorrhaging or miscarrying. And the point is that it renders both sexes sterile. So for years and years, and it, you know, started with this Dr. Otwaddle back in the early 80s, first exposed it to the public. But Bill Gates has been saying for years and years in the public, right in your face, we're going to depopulate the earth by 80 to 90%, and we're going to use vaccines to do it. So we all thought, well, the vaccine is the kill shot. Yes and no. It is going to kill millions of people. It already has thousands and thousands of people. Over 3,000 here in the United States. Globally, I don't even know what the numbers are. They're high, but they're not all being reported. That's just what's gone through the VAERS reporting system, which is a small fraction of the truth. Now, with this protein, it acts on both males and females. Now, females, even if you're postmenopausal, the only way you're going to avoid the reproductive organ damage is if you're like me and you had a full hysterectomy, so you no longer have the plumbing. It can't affect me that way. However, once it's in your body sheds everything that is foreign, and it will shed the protein. And the way it does it is through every way that your body sheds. Your skin particles, you know, that slough off. Your breath, your spit, seminal fluid, blood, coughing, sneezing, talking, breathing, just breathing. So if you breathe on a family member, if you've been vaccinated, or a vaccinated person has breathed on you, and you have that spike protein, you pass it on to everybody else you're around. So that's the real kill shot. After one generation, and you know how fast that will get around the globe since they're using the vaccine globally anyway, within one generation, humanity would be wiped out. Why? Because you have one or two generations, those of my daughter's age, like in her 30s, she just had another baby, 30-year-old babies, but you've got my grandchildren, you know, Haley's turning 13 this year. So you've got two generations that are going to be rendered sterile, meaning they can't procreate. So if two generations are rendered sterile, where does the next generation of humans come from? So
right.
That's why that part is the kill shot. Now, the information that was sent to me 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, was originally, it was by a member that sent it to me, but it was originally put out by Dr. Judy Mikovits. Many of you know who she is. She's very well known and quite famous these days, because she's been trying to expose all this and the whole fake pandemic since the get-go. And they have attacked her mightily. Some of the stuff they have done to this woman is unbelievable, but she has a set of brass cojones not to be believed. But she finally discovered, as it was the problem I had with believing that they would use something like this for the kill shot, because I thought, well, they'll never do that, because if they do something like that, how do they protect themselves? You know, their own generation, their own bloodlines, etc. And they think they're gods. They think they're above it all, this 13 bloodline family. So I thought they couldn't do it that way unless they had an antidote. There had to be an antidote. So, but, and given the track record, it would be something very readily available, easy to find, easy to ascertain, and right in our face, because that's how they do it. But we don't see it. Well, it is. It is out there. Some of you have it in your own backyard or across the street or everywhere you look, depending on where you live. It's a tree. It's the eastern white pine. Up here, now all of the eastern states, like Massachusetts, Maine, all up and down the eastern seaboard, that tree is indigenous. It's the one that is most often used for Christmas trees. Not the fir, not the Doug fir, but the eastern white pine, the one with the 3.5-inch long, soft-looking needles on it. And you make a tea of that. It kills off that protein so that when your body sloughs it out, it's no longer active. Okay, so it will counter the damage that is being done, and you have no idea. When you go to the grocery store, you go in, you go outside your door, there is no way for you to know who's been vaccinated and who's been around somebody who has. So there's no way to know who's carrying that protein and who isn't. Now, there are also some side effects that are caused by this spike protein, because remember I said it's a artificial substance, artificial entity being introduced into the human body, and the human body is naturally going to fight it. And so you've got some side effects other than those I just talked about as far as to the issue of sterility, infertility. Oh, it also causes miscarriages. there was a list of other side effects. Not all of the side effects, and I'd like to note here at this point that they don't even know yet what all of the side effects might be. This is just what has been identified thus far, okay? And it was only a partial list. Well, when Dave called in, he had been very, very sick for over a week, to the point that he wasn't returning my emails, he wasn't answering his phone. I was getting very worried. He's my best friend in the whole world, and I'm like, something's got to be wrong, because Dave never, ever ignores me. And so I went so far as to even, you know, to one of our other people who happens to live in Dallas and contact him, and he said, if you don't hear from him by morning, then I'm going to drop by his apartment on the way home from work. So he finally did call me, and he was so weak he could barely talk. And he starts telling me what his symptoms are, what he's suffering. And I had just gotten that information, and it hit me. I'm like, Dave, I think you've been around somebody who's been vaccinated, and you didn't know it. Where have you been the last few days? And he had been all over the place. He had gone to get glass bottles and do stuff with his shipping water, and he'd been to, I think he said, Sam's or Costco or something like that, and grocery store, and of course he's out walking and talking to people and eating out, and God knows how many people he'd been around. But he told me how he was feeling, and one of the things he said was he was having horrible migraines. Well, Dave never, ever, ever gets a headache. That's one thing,
right?
Mr. Dave never suffers, okay? And I thought, okay, that's odd, number one. And then he told me that he was sick to his stomach and that he was so weak that it literally took him over an hour to eat a little small bowl of pineapple chunks. It took him that long to chew them. And he couldn't stay awake. But when he went to sleep, he would have these horrible, horrible nightmares, really dark nightmares, and they would wake him up. And then after a few days, he started developing pain and like burning and real sensitivity and sore skin, sore places on his body specifically, and it was worse all over his scalp, like he had, somebody had beat his head, you know, all over with a baseball bat or something. And I'm like, this is too weird. I never heard of anything like that until I was looking at the list of side effects from this spike protein. So I highly suspect that's what's going on with Dave. Now, for all of you, I know it's really scary what I just said, and I did send out the article regarding the antidote, and there is a video, I sent you that too, Jesse, that shows you how to do it, but it really is quite simple. But you do need to pay attention to the tree that you are harvesting the needles from, because most pine trees will make tea that tastes pretty good, but there are four species that are actually poisonous. One is the ponderosa, one is the yew pine, one is, oh my goodness, the ponderosa, the yew pine, it'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, there's four of them. And you don't want to accidentally use those. Now, the ones with the long needles, there are three of them that look very similar. You've got the black pine, the red pine, and the white pine. And they all grow up here. I mean, you could have all three of them in your yard. This is how you identify the white pine. The needles are 3 to 3.5 inches long. And on a pine tree, as the needles come out of the branch, they have what connects them to the branch is a little thing like our hair follicles. When you pull a hair out of your head, you get the whole thing, you get the little hair follicle at the bottom. Well, that's how these grow too. And the little follicle, if it's a eastern white pine, it's got 5 needles growing out of it. 5. If it's a red or a black pine, it'll only have 2 or 3 growing out of that little, that's called a fascicle, okay? And so that's an easy way to identify the white pine. Now, all it takes is, when you make an okay sign with your hand, and your thumb and your forefinger create a circle, the size of that circle is roughly, a bundle of needles that size is roughly 2 ounces. So you take about 2 ounces of the pine needles, and you put 2 to 3 cups of water in a saucepan. Do not bring it to a complete boil. Watch the pan, and just before it starts to boil, when you can stick your finger in and it's pretty hot but it doesn't burn you, and you see the little bubbles on the very bottom of the pan, before it starts to boil, that's when it's perfect. So you take those needles and you can put them in a strainer, you can put them in a coffee press, whatever you've got, or you could even just put them in the water and then let them steep and pour the tea through a colander. But what I did was I used a strainer. Now I got a coffee press, but you just put the needles in there in the water and push them down, let them steep for 10 to 15 minutes. Now, I don't like tea and it doesn't like me. I normally would never drink it, excuse me, and I do not like anything sweet. So anything, I drink coffee, but only black. Other than that, just water, club soda, that's water too. I don't drink anything else. So I like the tea just the way it is. But if you like your drinks to have a sweet flavor, there's no reason you couldn't put sugar or honey in it to sweeten it,
yeah,
or lemon if you like it. Right. Or another option, especially to get your kids to drink it, because the kids are every bit as susceptible to those side effects as you are. No difference. It's going to sterilize them too. And you don't know who's breathing on your kids, especially when you're sending them off to school or out to play or whatever. So you need them to drink it. Now, most kids will drink a good summer iced tea out of the fridge. So brew up your pine needle tea and put some lemon and sugar in it, whatever it is your family likes, and have a pitcher of it in the fridge. There's no reason you have to drink it hot, okay? But there is a reason you don't want to boil the water and steep it in boiled water. That's because pine needles are one of nature's purest, highest sources of vitamin C and A. And the boiling process destroys all the other nutrients like that, the vitamin C and A and other nutrients aside from the nutrient, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name, it starts with an F, that's in that pine needle. Now, when you are harvesting them in the wild, you should do it early in the day, in the morning, or later in the day, early evening, when they have a light coating of dew over them. That's when they are very plump and they are very fresh. But, you know, it's outdoors. And like with any fresh vegetable, you want to wash them. You don't know about the dust and the dirt. I did find spiders on my trees when I was harvesting the needles.
Don't worry, they die when you boil them, Terry.
Yeah, bird poop and whatever, but you're not going to boil them.
Not a worry.
So, you know, get harvest your needles and just rinse them in a colander the same way you would with fresh vegetables from the stove, and dry them, you know, before you store them. Now, I had a conversation with one of our members on my call on Thursday, and she asked me a very interesting question about it. Because I had mentioned how I store celery. I love celery, and I use it for a lot of things, but 9 times out of 10 you buy celery, you're never going to use the whole bunch in one dish. And it does have a tendency to wilt and go get old rather quickly, unless you wash it, you cut it, and you wrap it up in heavy-duty aluminum foil nice and tight. It'll keep for over a month, nice and crisp in your fridge if you do that. So she said, what about storing it in the fridge? Because she thought you had to put it in the fridge. No, you don't. But it'll dry out faster, like needles on the ground, if you don't. But it's going to – nothing stays fresh in plastic wrappers. Wife on this call, every cook knows that, so we don't do that, you know. So she wanted to know could you wrap it up in aluminum foil? And I'm thinking, you know what? That's a really good idea. Now, the other thing is, when you go to steep it in the hot water, if you would like a milder taste, and it is very mild. I mean, I shared that I don't like tea for a reason, so everybody would understand. If I find it pleasant, it must be a good drink because I'm that picky. But I enjoyed it, and I didn't cut the tips off. But if you find it a little too piney, before you steep it, the little fascicles I told you about, the very tips, you can cut those off. And then if you cut your needles in half, lay them out on your cutting board, line them up and just cut the whole thing in half like you would stalk the celery and throw them in, that is going to help the water from extracting the nutrients and liquid from inside the plant if you cut it. Now, when I made the tea the first time, I didn't. I just threw them in there whole. And
right.
You can do that too. That depends on you. But it will make a stronger, and I would say it would probably be better to do that if you're going to make a big jug of iced tea for the fridge. That way you're getting the maximum amount of the nutrients out of those needles that you can by cutting them. That's why when you make homemade vanilla, you put a slit down the bean before you put it in the rum to steep.
Right.
Because that helps the liquid to get in there. So that's awesome. The antidote. And we don't know how long we're going to have to be using this antidote, but I can tell you we are under assault. We are at war. We are in war. Make no mistake about that. It's not like any war you've ever seen before or any human on this planet's ever seen before. It's not kinetic. We don't see tanks coming down the street. Well, maybe in some places, you know, and military guns and bombs going off overhead. But this is much worse because it's stealth and most of it's invisible. So we have to, as Scott McKay likes to say, hold the fork in line and realize you are at war and we have to fight back. And this is one way we can fight back for humanity, not just for us and our family and our friends, all of humanity around the globe, because we're all under assault. So that's what I had to share.
Remember
all
the
right.
book,
well,
Silent Weapons
that.
For Quiet Wars?
Yes, I
no,
just
I've
had
never
that
heard
conversation.
Of that one, John. Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
I have, Jesse, sent that doc out hundreds of times. It was discovered in 1968. You know what? On my call this week, I'm going to send it out again. They absolutely wrote out a blueprint on how they were going to do and accomplish exactly what we see happening now.
Yep.
Wow.
And Terry, would you send me the T thing that you sent Jesse? I'd appreciate that.
Yes, I will. I sent out with my call stuff last week, but I'll send it out again, and then you guys should, you know, share it with your contact list.
Absolutely.
Far and wide. And maybe the video, Jesse, and the article from Dr. Mikovits could be
Let's
put in the
it,
forum
yeah.
so others could have access to it that way. Because I don't
okay,
have
yeah,
everybody on
good,
your list
sure.
my list.
Okay. No big deal.
John, I'll send
Ooh,
you that right
dollars.
Now.
Thank you.
And I'm going to look for that. I have it on my computer, Silent Weapons. Doc, Jesse, and I'm going to shoot that over to you now, too. Okay.
All right, so let's get rock and rolling
right
now.
Share.
As bad as it sounds, I forget how the hell you ask a question here. What do you got to do to?
You just have to hit the number one to put yourself in the queue.
There you go, guys. So if you have questions, just hit the number one. There you go. Because I know star two on our webinars, but I haven't run this panel in so long. It's unbelievable.
Well, have you got everybody muted except you, me, John, and Larry?
Yes.
Okay. So remember,
I don't see Larry anyway. So.
Well,
yeah,
when somebody hits one and puts themselves in the queue, you got to unmute them one by one, unless you want to do the call the way I do mine.
I haven't seen anybody with a star. Somebody hit one for me. Just hit one to see what it. Because this board, I haven't been on this board in like 10 years. There it goes. Okay, so 218. I see how that happened. Correct? That's how that happened? All right, so I'm going to. Okay, so you got yourself off, Terry, right?
Do I what?
Did you hit the number one?
No.
It looked like you muted out.
I don't get me. I mute myself if I've got noise going on my end. So
oh,
you don't
I got
need
you.
To mute
okay.
me on the board. Okay, and
well,
I am
going to see what it looks like when somebody lines up.
Because my granddaughter.
So, guys, if you have any questions,
what?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
If you have questions,
I can hit the
number one. Hit that. Let me see what it looks like.
I'm going to hit it right now. Okay. You
okay.
should see my number. Did it come up?
No, nothing changed. Let me mute you. Hold on. I'm going to mute you. Okay. Now hit the number one. Okay, I see it. Okay, so I unmuted
Hello?
You, Terry.
Yep. Hello?
No, I didn't unmute you. I'm sorry. Let me unmute Terry. Hold on one second. I got you. Okay, so there.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm talking
All right.
away, and you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
Hello?
I unmuted 218 on accident, so go ahead with your question, boss.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
hello?
You.
Oh, cool. I've been on the call with you recently, Terry, about from Minnesota. We were trying. You told us to find out the procedures for Minnesota for motion to vacate and void the judgment. And we tried to call there, and the ladies were gone that could help us. But we're going to call again tomorrow. But I did read the state law and some case law here. And it looks like we have to get a date first and then file the paperwork. At least that's what I thought I saw. But one thing that was I had a question about, it said that they considered the service, you know, successful if they did certified mail, but it didn't define certified mail because these guys sent certified mail, but we never signed it. And I looked in Black's Law Dictionary, and I noticed – they were using this in some court cases. And it said Black's Law says that certified mail has to be received by me or the receivee and actually sign it. And we never did receive it and sign it. So I don't know what they're going to say when we get the court case or the whatever, because those guys did send certified mail and they're going to say we are served, but I mean, according to Black's Law and stuff, we never were, but they didn't define it in the Minnesota law. I didn't know if you guys had any experience with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Minnesota law is, but did you refuse the letter of certified mail or the process? Did you refuse it when you say you didn't sign?
We never, usually, like, I've had stuff before where you got to, the mailman hands it to you or they say that you got to go to the post office and pick it up, you got to sign for it. Like when we send stuff to Calvary and all these guys, we put it that they got to sign for it and they signed it and sent it back to us. So they sent a certified thing because you can send certified stuff that is not signable. And I think that's what they did. And then we never found out about this judgment until after, you know, the judgment, it was already went through. So we never signed for anything. And I don't know if somebody signed for us because the green thing was taken off the letter. I think somebody signed for us, and I don't know how they did that. But Is Terry there? I don't know.
She should be. Terry, you here, sweetheart?
Okay,
muted?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh. I had to mute because my granddaughter just came in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, first of all, if they're going to say you signed it, they've got to produce the receipt that you signed.
Okay.
And when it's not, and when it's not your signature, uh-oh.
The only thing is I kind of sign weird all the time, but my question is, could they, our state is so crooked, I'm just wondering if somebody signed for it.
Well,
no,
they have to have proof.
But here's, I want to go with what you just said. Yes, you're right. It's not just your state. It's every damn state. They're all crooked. And the post office is one of the worst.
Okay.
So, you know, that's nothing new. The problem is that for them, the onus of proof is on them, not on you.
So
it is on them.
Could I show my driver's license and say, hey, that's not my signature? Look at my driver's license.
No, listen.
They sent you certified return receipt. He's not realizing there's a green slip that goes with that that would have your signature on it mailed to them.
Yes. And
they can prove that,
okay,
that you have that or they have that, there's nothing you can do. Nothing they can do.
Oh, no. I'm
okay,
not
now, but you didn't let me finish. Okay? You didn't let me finish. You don't volunteer a damn thing. You don't say, well, that's not my signature. Look on my driver's license. No.
Okay.
The burden of proof is not on you.
Okay.
They've got to
correct.
Come up with a signature and prove that it is your signature. So
okay.
Unless a court or a lawyer, you were in discovery and he demanded it, a copy of your driver's license, unless you are legally required to provide a copy of your signature, you don't volunteer it because they're in the driver's seat. You don't have to help them prove or disprove a damn thing.
So I just say, we just say that's not our, we never sign anything? We never
you never
anything?
Signed any. That's
okay.
All you say. That
okay.
is enough.
Okay?
Cool. I did
great.
Not
yeah.
receive it. I did not sign for anything.
Okay.
Now the proof is in, of the pudding is in their hands, and they've got to prove that you did.
Okay. I can picture this law firm is so crooked, I can just see, I don't know how, but I think somebody signed because that
well,
thing was
don't
missing.
Well, don't tilt
that
at windmills because, you know what, you're not going to live long enough to dream up all the ways they can lie and cheat.
Okay.
So it'll drive you nuts.
Okay.
Don't worry about what might happen, what they might
sure.
do, what they could do,
okay.
what maybe right. they will do. Nope, you just deal with what is.
Okay. Yeah, that was the only question I had, and I mean,
and
so,
Jesse, don't say it all depends on what the definition of is.
Yeah.
That sounds like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was making a joke there. Yeah, you
okay.
got it.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota has some weird forms. I don't know if they're trying to hide the forms, but they don't. It's a very odd form that motion. They named it something else, and so I think we have to talk to the ladies down there to find out what the real form is, because it's a very
yeah. Remember, I told right. I
yeah.
told you the court.
Yeah.
It depends on the court you're going into, and sometimes they come up with their own whacked out creative titles for something as simple as a motion for to void.
There was
emotion.
Nothing about void or vacate. It was like a motion to motion.
To vacate
to
a void judgment. Right.
Yeah, they
they'll
had
come
with
up with.
Or void. Yeah, some stupid name.
Yeah.
And,
but
so
that's
anyway,
where you've
I
got
to call the ladies were
the
out.
Clerk.
At, when we called. Yeah, the clerk was out, and they said they were at court or something. So I'm going to try to call tomorrow morning and even go down there if we have to. But we got to find out because we read a court case like in Hennepin County, which is Minneapolis, and we saw that it sounded like you had to set the date first and then you file the paperwork, which I don't know if that's normal or not. But
well, I told you that you do have to request a hearing, and they're going to have their own procedures and rules.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be different. It's like,
okay.
And it's way different when it's like a small claims court or a superior court, like in Eastman, Georgia. That small claims court is, the judge calls it swamp court. And when we asked for someone else about vacating a void judgment, they were like, what is that?
Oh, okay.
And I heard him say in open court to a lawyer, what do you mean you're citing the law? Don't even think you're bringing the law into my court.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah,
it
that's
works,
how
man.
It can get.
People don't believe it, but it's the way it absolutely works.
Wow, that's crazy.
Reminds
it's me
sad,
of softball. My daughter plays softball, and the there's supposed to be a strike zone that's the same for everybody. And then this umpire is like, that's my strike zone. They're making up their own strike zone. That's my strike zone.
Excuse me.
Don't dare bring up the legal strike
zone. So at that point, the father of the child punches the umpire in the face and says, really? That's my strike zone?
Right? That's terrible.
That's a good one. Hey, yeah.
All right, did they get your question answered, bud?
Yes, I got a quick question about the pine, the white pine.
Yeah.
For Terry.
Yes, no worries.
Terry, do you take that every day?
I think it's since this is all new, and even the discoverer, the various doctors, can't be sure how long we should do it. But
okay.
To be on the safe side, I would say at least a cup of that a day for the next 6 months ought to keep everybody safe enough until the spike protein has been rendered, neutered sufficiently in your environment. But I would say if you're going to travel, like say 8 months from now, and you're going to travel out of the country or to the other side of the country or to Canada, Mexico, across the pond, whatever, it might be wise to start drinking some again before you go to some place that you don't know if it's been disseminated and people have the active protein still.
Yeah, the
I'm
staring at a white pine right now about 50 yards away from me. I'm thinking about going out there right now and getting some. Yeah.
Is a good time of night to go get it.
Yeah, I'm in Minnesota time here, Central time, and it's sun's just about to set, so I think I'm gonna run out there and get some. But I'm a carpenter, so I know what the white pine looks like. I've seen them. You know, we use white pine all the time for our timber framing and stuff.
Right. It's a handy tree.
it's the best tree for carpentry. That's an awesome tree.
And they're beautiful too.
They're beautiful. The wood is beautiful when you cut it up in the houses, and then it's good for this. I love it. So anyway, thanks.
One more thing I didn't mention, since you're going to go do that, and I really should have mentioned it. When you're harvesting the needles, try to take it off the newest branches for this year, meaning the low branches, and off the front end of the branch, the newest growth.
Oh, okay. What do you mean by the front end, like the furthest away from the tree?
No, away from the tree, away from the trunk. Okay.
Yeah, like,
and
okay.
when you get like when you get to the front end of a white pine on a white pine tree, that's where you're going to see the little nibs that are growing up, and eventually you'll have pine cones there. Don't try not to pinch those off, because when you do, I mean, they make awesome tea too, those nibs. But keep in mind, if it's your tree and it's in your yard, if you take those off this time of year, it will stunt the growth of that branch for this year.
Oh, okay.
Next year will be
okay.
fine. But,
okay.
you know, like I've got small young ones in my backyard, and I don't want to stunt their growth. So I'm not over.
I'm not sure if I understood this. Do I get the furthest end of the branch, like not furthest away from the tree, from the trunk?
Yeah, furthest away
okay.
from the trunk,
okay.
closest to
okay.
you. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay. All right, well, sounds good. I'm going to go get some right
and
now
one
if
more,
I can, unless
one
I
more,
can't reach. But, okay.
And one more thing that I didn't mention, and this is really important. Pregnant women should not drink that tea.
Okay, yeah,
no,
my wife's post-menopause, but she's saying, no, don't say anything.
No, I mean, don't give it to somebody you know who's pregnant. I don't know what it is in that tea that's harmful to pregnancy,
okay.
but... that's been brought out by a couple of the doctors, so I would take their word for that.
I got three daughters, so I'm hoping they're not pregnant.
Well,
yeah, right.
Give them a tea, that'll take care of it, right?
I guess.
Got it.
Yeah.
All
okay.
right, let's
well,
knock this out. We'll run off
it.
To the next caller.
Okay,
yes,
thank
Jay.
You
have a great day, man. Appreciate it.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. All right, buddy. All right, so we have another hand up here. It's 704. You're unmuted.
Okay, 704. This is LaGretta.
That's you. That's it. How are you, sweetheart?
Yeah. I'm doing well. Maricopa, Arizona. Maricopa County. Okay, this is the case with Bank of America versus me as the defendant. And got a decision the other day on, basic thing was on jurisdiction and that I am not a resident of Arizona. The judge issued a decision the other day, and this is in the appeals court now. This is where the three judges made the decision. And I just need to read the conclusion. It says the Superior Court properly exercised personal jurisdiction in this matter. We affirm the judgment. The bank is entitled to recover its costs upon compliance with ARCAP 21. So I did call the clerk and ask her what procedure could I do next. The suggestion was that I can either take it to the Supreme Court, or either I can file for a motion of reconsideration. And also, she said also that I could ask for clarification of the ruling. And this has to be in before May 21st, which is this Friday. So I need some help and guidance as to how to answer this back.
Well, I think he just told you how to do it. You just got to get it done. So either you're going to appeal it, right, which is you just file a notice of appeal, and then you have, depending on the state, like Florida, you have 60 days to file your first brief. If you do a notice for reconsideration, then you might waive the right to appeal. John, I don't know how those – we're not familiar with the Arizona rules, so I don't know. But here in Florida, if I file a notice of reconsideration or a motion for reconsideration – or in the alternative, because you can do it, right, as two motions in one. So a motion for verification of the ruling and or the alternative, a motion for reconsideration, right? So that's two in one shot. When I file that, it's still ongoing because it's not final yet. So when that is decided or heard, then I can file my notice of appeal.
Okay, wait a minute, let's go back.
I don't know if that's the way it's going to work in Arizona. I don't have a clue.
This is an appeal ruling that I have here.
Oh, it is? Why, you didn't
this
say
is
that.
From
right?
Arizona
getting, okay.
Court of Appeals, yes.
Okay, okay. Then I have no idea. You could probably take it to the Supreme Court, but if it's anything like Florida, you're just wasting your breath.
Okay,
I'm
what
just
about
telling.
The... what about the clarification or reconsideration? Is any of that possible now?
What do you think, John?
Well, I think it depends what your goal is, and if you're just trying to extend some more time, you could do that and see what they come back with, and you can turn around and take it to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, actually...
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in this case?
I am the defendant.
Yeah, so, you know, you want to fight as much
never
as you can.
I lived in Arizona. I was there during the time when I was served, helping my daughter with the child. So, but I have a North Carolina driver's license, address, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she never lived there, which is what I understand.
Well, and because she doesn't, they don't really have jurisdiction.
Yeah. And somehow they're trying to exercise the jurisdiction.
Exactly.
Which is not cool. So, you know, you can take it to the Supreme Court. I mean, I mean, I don't know if you challenged jurisdiction in the original argument, because that's what's going to get you if you didn't, right? They're going to say, why are you bringing it up now?
This is what we've been challenging basically all along. But they are basically saying I am a resident of Arizona.
How?
And
did you serve there.
Hold on, Let's figure this out. How are they coming to the conclusion that you're a resident there? Do you have a driver's license there?
No.
You have a P.O. box there?
She already proved that.
A P.O. box there.
No.
So they,
not
they,
box,
I'm with
but
John.
I have my daughter.
And Sherry's
so
visiting
live
there before. They already proved that she's not a resident there, and they, you know, they, she's just caught up probably with some corrupt judges. Not that there any corruption in Maricopa County.
No.
<not at all.
laughs> Well, wow.
And that's why I was saying,
also,
you know, with the federal lawsuit for taking a legal action they're not legally entitled to take, if they're going after her for being a resident, she's not a resident, and they don't have jurisdiction there, you know, they're employing the court in the perpetration of a fraud.
Yeah, I would have to challenge that in the Supreme Court for lack of jurisdiction. Now, how long did you live there with your daughter, though? See, that's the question.
There's been a... A couple of months back and forth, visiting.
Okay, so
like
let me explain something to you.
3 months, then leave.
Okay. So you never got a permanent residence is the question, I guess. That's the big
issue. No.
I want to keep asking you this because sometimes I feel like there's parts missing we're not made aware of, and then we're trying to give you some kind of direction here, and the judges are seeing something we're not or you're not, and that's why I'm keep hammering on you on this. So you never had a P.O. box or a bank account there or anything to that effect?
No, I never had a bank account there.
Okay. But
well,
a P.O. box?
I had bank accounts in North Carolina, so I didn't no P.O. box.
Yeah, no, you got him by the ball sack if you really want to just take him to the court. And I'm not kidding you. Take him up to the Supreme Court for lack of jurisdiction. End of story. That's it.
Okay.
That's
and
it.
My question also was, how can I find out if the exhibits were actually there? Because we sent several exhibits. And when I talked with the girl at the court, she said that I could put that in my clarification when I asked for clarification, to make sure the exhibits were there. I've heard of exhibits disappearing in Arizona.
That's not all that disappears in Arizona.
Right.
And she said whatever came up from Superior Court is what we actually, the judges actually saw, but, you know, here again.
I'm like I said, I don't know
when
what else to tell you other than
say, when I moved there initially, I did use my daughter's address, so they did have a bill with her address on it. But like I said, I never
see that's what the judges are sticking on, John.
Yep,
exactly what they're sticking on.
Yep.
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 That's why I keep asking you, beating you up on this. Because if you use her address for anything, You know, that means you live there. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put her address there.
That's
the way
you
look at it. You came and go.
Care of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they're saying, oh, you just came and went. Who cares? You wouldn't have come and gone if you, you know, weren't living there. Many people live here and leave and come back. You know, there's 12,000 voters that didn't live there that voted. So they were somewhere, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there were dead people that voted from way off planet, up or down.
Yeah, exactly. But no joke, seriously, if you had that, that's probably what they're holding on to.
Yes, from the decision, the complete decision, that's I think that's what they're holding on to. And
yeah,
like,
I can't think
I just
of anything
think they
else.
Decided to ignore everything else.
Yeah, that's what they're hanging their claws into. I mean, you can challenge them for lack of jurisdiction, but, you know, that's a tough one.
Do you pay taxes in North Carolina, property taxes, or I don't know if you have an income
vehicle,
tax.
Vehicle taxes. In North Carolina, they hit us hard.
No, I have
yes,
no
do.
Vehicle. So if I am actually in North Carolina is one of the states where they can't really come after you. So with this judgment in Arizona, does that make a difference?
Well, they're not going to be able to mess with you anyway.
If they perfect the judgment in Arizona, they can always, once they get a judgment against you, then they can have it transferred to where you are. That's what they try to do.
Right, but oh. Then on collection, they are limited by North Carolina's law on
correct.
Exemptions and collections and garnishing, et cetera. If
correct.
They transfer the judgment to North Carolina, that judgment is subject to North Carolina judgment collection rules and laws, not Arizona. And you know what those are, LaGretta.
Right.
Right. But, I mean, it comes back to they're taking a legal action they're not legally entitled to take, and they're attempting to employ the court in the perpetration of a fraud, and they're violating the FDCPA. So a federal lawsuit, I think we talked about that a long time ago, is one of the best ways to get their attention.
Okay.
Well, yeah, John, that's a tough one, buddy.
Yep. It's a lot of work.
You know, if you know they can't get you, what does it really matter anyway?
Right.
You know
right.
What I mean?
Except they're going to come knocking on the daughter's door all the time.
You know? That's all.
Oh, well.
So, you know, I would still say the jurisdiction is your best fight. And then John has a great idea.
Yep.
I really do. You're knocking down two dogs with one stick, you know?
Okay.
That's what I would do anyway. That make sense?
Yes, it's making sense, but that's
you don't sound like you got the fight left in you to do it. I don't blame you. You get to a point where you're just tired of messing with these clowns. You know, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I can't blame you for that. Can't blame you a bit for it.
Well, and if if I'm like Tara said, the North Carolina thing. If they transfer it to North Carolina, that would be interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even worry about it. I just do your deal, you know? If not, you go crazy. You will go crazy, I promise you.
Well, it's
all right,
nice
sweetheart. Well, you have a good night.
Corruption. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, like you said, we're dealing with Maricopa County. That kind of speaks volumes in itself, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay. You don't have to say a whole lot more than that. So that's the whole deal. All right. Well, you have a great night. I hope we helped you a little bit anyway.
Thank you very much.
All righty. You have a great night.
All right.
That's terrible, man.
It is.
It is. All right. So 786. Guys, one to raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, then, of course, we call it a night. John sounds exhausted. I know I am. So 786, you are unmuted.
Hello, guys. How you doing tonight?
How you doing, guys?
This is Eddie in Miami. How you doing? I don't know if this is going to work or not, but this is a lot, there's a lot of noise in here because I'm working. You guys tell me if you can listen to me okay or it's too much noise?
Yes, we can hear you so far.
Okay. I'm going to try to be reassured because, like I said, I'm working. But this thing is happening. It's been happening since for the last 2 years. It started in 2018. Besky and Associates representing Citibank. Send the first letter. I send a request for validation. After that, they, in quotes, validate the debt. They send a second letter, which they didn't do. They didn't do that. They never validated it second time. So that was it. The case rested right there. I lost contact with them. Nothing happened after that. So I thought that was the end. 2020. I realized that when they knocked the door on my house, they performed service on me. So I realized that the case was sitting there for the last 2 years until they decided to perform service. So I accept the service, and I went from there. I drafted a complaint. I drafted a complaint against them for violation of federal law, and I filed it. Now, the question is this. I sent the validation letter, but status of limitations already was gone. When I sent the letter, it was already gone, 1 year, right? The state law, I have limit, the status of limitation was still there, but it was almost gone too. So I figured, okay, if I file a complaint against them, I hope that I file a notice to dismiss, a notice of dispute with the court, and a motion to dismiss, no, and a motion for extension of time with the court, okay? So, since I sent a validation letter, I mean, since I filed a notice of dispute with the court, I figure I can go from that point forward and sue them. So that's what I did. I filed a complaint. I put in the complaint, I put 29 actions from 2018, but in my count, I never mentioned that they violated the law because since 2018. I mentioned that they violated the law after they served the profound service on me. Now, the question is this. They performed service on me, and after that, they program a hearing, you know, the mediation hearing they usually have. When you go there, that's an attempt to collect the debt. That's what I think. So I filed a complaint saying that they kept collecting after the summons was served on me. Now, was I right? The service of summons. It's not the course of action to file a complaint because it's not the first communication, right? Isn't it?
Okay, is everybody following along here? Because he sounds muffled to me. John, are you following along, Terry?
Yeah, it's muffled.
Yeah, but can you hear what he's saying?
Yes.
The question
is, as long as you understand, because I have not caught 50% of what he's saying because it's very muffled.
That's...
Did you understand, John, what they said?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I don't want them to keep talking and then us don't get it.
They filed a complaint against me in state court, right? Did you hear that?
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, they filed a complaint against you in the state court, yes.
Right, but they served the complaint after 2 years after they filed a complaint. They filed it after 2 years. I mean, they served me
right.
after 2 years filing the complaint.
They served you late, and did you look in the record to see if they extended the time for service?
They file a motion to request service, and the judge accepted like nothing happened, and the judge, you know, how state court is here in Florida.
Yes.
They just let it continue. So it was valid. So nothing to do in there. I mean, so I figured, okay, I'm going to file a complaint. I file a complaint, like I said, and I, in my complaint, I started from the service of human because I filed a notice of dispute. So I figured the time starts now. So I have a case, a cause of action. Do I have a cause of action?
Well, if the judge said that it was okay to do it, then the judge is allowing them to it, so you don't really have a cause of action because they filed it. But if he's trying to sue you for a debt, they needed to send you something to tell you about your debtor's rights before they sued you. Did they do that?
They did that 2 years ago.
Well, they did 2 years ago. Did you write to them and demand validation?
I filed a notice of dispute with the court when they propound service of process on me.
Well, if you filed that and they haven't provided you with validation, then they have violated FDCPA. In other words, if you filed the notice of dispute in the court, and, you know, the funny thing is, as soon as you filed anything in the case, that's considered service. You answered the complaint.
Right, yeah, I understand that.
You made an appearance. You didn't answer the complaint. You made an appearance. You appeared in the record, so really technically you didn't have to be served, and they're hoping you don't know what's going on. So the appropriate thing to do is they're taking a legal action they're not legally entitled to take, and they're employing the court in the perpetration of a fraud because they've failed to provide you with the validation that you requested under the FDCPA.
Okay, so I was right then. That's what I did. I filed a complaint alleging violation of federal law, alleging 1692G, collecting.
Well, I
say collecting.
That's correct. It's something like that in GB that GB has to do with the debt validation letter, but they failed to provide you with the validation you requested.
But they did it 2 years ago. I mean, yeah. Okay, yeah, they sent to validate. Yeah, you understand? I understand that, yeah. They never validated.
They sent you the letter. They sent you the letter saying that you have 30 days to dispute the debt, and if you don't answer it within the 30 days, then they're going to consider it to be your debt. And then they filed and you notified them by filing the notice of dispute in the court, but
right.
was it just the one that says this is not my debt, but if it is my debt, is that the one you're talking about that you filed in, or did you file a demand for validation?
A notice of dispute, just a straight notice of dispute.
Okay, and did you demand validation under the FDCPA?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
yes,
and when you bring up FDCPA, if you file a federal lawsuit, then sometimes they can drag it back into state court, right, Jesse?
That's right.
But they actually didn't do that. They filed a motion to dismiss in the federal case. But in
yeah,
the motion
because they
to dismiss,
hired a different lawyer. They always do that.
Yeah, but in the motion to dismiss, they never say anything about what happened after the summons was served. Because they're complaining, saying in the motion to dismiss that they already did that 2 years ago. You know, they already validated the debt, so they don't have to do it again. That's one of the things they base the motion to dismiss in.
How did they validate the debt?
Well, you know, it's not validation. They say validation was a copy of something, statement, alleged statements from the account, and the application, the alleged copy of the application, and they said that was validation. So that's it.
Right, but those, you know, like we've discussed on these calls plenty of times before, generally the terms of the account could apply to anyone, including the judge, because it doesn't have your name on there. It might just have your account number down at the bottom because they've printed it out from the file, and they don't have an actual application that you signed.
They say they do. They do. They have a copy, right? They have a copy of that. That's what they presented. An alleged copy of something.
But they didn't file. If they had it, they could have filed it in and made it a motion for summary judgment.
Yeah, okay, that's another thing. They filed it with a motion to dismiss because I never attached those documents in the complaint. So they said that no matter if I don't attach those documents, I mentioned those documents, so case law exists that they can do, refer to those documents as exhibits, because I mentioned those documents in my complaint. They attached those documents to the motion to dismiss, and in the motion to dismiss state, they said that they're not converting their motion to a motion for summary judgment just because they are attaching those papers to the motion to dismiss.
Well, then, you know what? You've got real dirtbag lawyers on the other side that are just going to milk their clients for all they can, because they could have head this off real quickly by, you know, going for the motion for summary judgment. And where's the lawyer that you're dealing with?
Ronald Cantor. Cantor. C-A-N-T-E-R. Cantor.
Uh-huh.
That's his last name. I can't remember the name now. Go ahead.
In Miami?
Go ahead. No, they're in Miami. They're in Jacksonville,
Tampa?
Florida.
Oh. Yeah. You know, they didn't attach the documents, so they're alleging that the documents you complained about are true documents. So
right.
They're probably going to see if you file them in, but you don't have to file them in. You're just going to complain. You're just complaining about it, and you have to answer their motion to dismiss.
Exactly. That's what it will do. But the question was about the service of process in state court. That's
the service of process, because the judge gave them the ability to still serve, then he gave them the ability to still serve. I mean, it's Mickey Mouse court. You know that.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So I guess I have to deal with the motion to dismiss now. That's what I was.
You have to deal with the motion to dismiss, and if they're going to try to further anything in the state court, you know, you can file in a motion to stay pending the federal action.
Oh, they stay the court. The state court is on hold right now. They're not doing anything in there. I guess they're not doing anything until we do whatever in federal court.
Unlike the federal court, where you're on a managed timeline, and if you don't do stuff when the court wants it, they terminate the case. In the state court, it can sit there for a year or more until the judge wants to clean, you know, all his dockets. And then they'll just say, you know, show cause why this shouldn't be dismissed. Or they may just dismiss it, and you have to come back and open again. Since they're the plaintiff, he'd probably just let it sit there. So... You could always file a motion to dismiss there, but you've got enough going on with the federal action. You need to answer the motion to dismiss.
Right, yeah, I do. I already filed a motion for extension of time. So,
did you confer with the other side first?
Oh yeah, I did that. They accepted.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they accepted.
Yeah, so you're on it. You're on it. And, you know, you can always get like 14, 21, 30 days easy on everything. And then it just drags things out farther and farther and gives you more time to prepare. But that should be a pretty easy one to beat the motion to dismiss.
They allege something else, the litigation privilege in Florida. Because they're attorneys, they think, how do you beat that, John, or guys? The litigation privilege, it seems like it's very tough to beat.
The litigation privilege in Florida is pretty easy to beat because they beat federal law, and the state law isn't going to preempt federal law.
So their case,
they always throw in the litigation. They always throw in litigation privilege as a way to try to chase people away.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Litigation privilege
okay,
is nonsense.
There must be case law about that, right?
Do what?
Is there a case law about that, litigation privilege?
Yeah, but you got to dig in to find it.
Yeah, because I was looking into it and I couldn't find anything in my favor. Everything, all the decisions that I came with. You know what else I did? And I put that for the people that are listening to. I found out that KSpec, you know that search engine?
Uh-huh.
KSpec, you can subscribe to them and you will get 14 days free. And you can use all the everything in there for 14 days. So I subscribe
to them. You get a new email address and you can do it again and again.
Oh, really? I didn't know how far. Okay. All right. So
don't tell anybody.
You seen that? I was looking for the litigation privilege, but I couldn't find anything so far. So that's why I asked you, do you know any case about it? Are you familiar with anyone?
I've had to deal with that before, and I was just clicking through my computer to look where I've dealt with it, and there might be new, you know, you just have to look up Florida litigation privilege, and that's going to be within Florida law instead of federal law. That would have been handled by the Florida court and the Florida district courts, and also the Florida Supreme Court.
Okay. I was looking in the wrong place then, because I was looking at the federal law, so I couldn't find anything.
Right, and it's going to be state law. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be state case law that you're going to find. And if you've got case text right in there, you're going to find they do have a volume for the state of Florida. So,
okay.
And you really want to look for either the Supreme Court decision or the circuit court decisions.
Gotcha. Okay. I guess that's all I got. Anything else you want to mention? No, that's it. Okay.
I think we're good, John, with that.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we're really
good. All right,
guys. All right, brother. You have a great night. Thanks for joining us.
You guys, too. Thank you. And I hope Dave gets better soon.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
All right, man.
Got me worried.
It's not for me, All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right,
guys. Thank you.
All righty, John, Terry, I think that's it for the night. We don't have any more hands up. Terry, why don't you talk about your call, and then we'll wrap this thing up. She even around, Terry.
Terry.
I had to unmute myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you got her on mute.
Yeah, I hit the mute button and thinking I was muted, but I wasn't, so it muted me, and then I had to undo that.
No worries.
Anyway. Okay, my call on Thursday is at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And if you will get the call information, you already have it if you're on my list. If you're not on my list, that's how you get the call info. So you need to send me an email at Queen Songbird, that's one word, queensongbird@gmail.com, and say add me to the list. When I send you the call info, write it down and save it, because I don't send that out every week. So it's your job to write it down and save it. But you have to be on my email list so that I can include you after the call when I send out the recorded call link and documents or other information we may be talking about on the call. So the only way for you to get that is for you to be on my list. Send me an email at queensongbird at gmail.com.
All right. That sounds good. There you go. All right. Sounds good, guys. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. Have a great night. God bless everybody. And, again, tomorrow's webinar is canceled. Dave is not going to be around, and I flat out just don't have the time to get on there and do it. Otherwise, I would. I'm not going to burden John. He's been busy with his sister or Terry. Everybody's got stuff going on this week. But anyway, you guys have a great week. If you need anything, reach out on the site, and we'll go from there. Guys, thank you much, Terry, John. Appreciate your help. Really do.
Good night. Take care, buddy.
All right.
Get a shower.
Yeah, man, I'm fixing to. All right, bye-bye.